Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show that focuses on people and organizations making a big difference here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us right now is the Vice President of All Stars Project of Dallas, Antoine Joyce. How you doing, Tracy Morgan?
What's up, Chris? How you doing?
You know, I call you Tracy Morgan because you grew up in New York, and every time I talk to you, you don't look like Tracy Morgan, but I swear you sound like the incredible actor-comedian Tracy Morgan. So I enjoy listening to you, and your voice paints pictures. I'm just giving you your props.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I'm a Brooklyn boy from New York, as you mentioned, so hey, I'm honored. You know, that he's a funny guy. I like Tracy.
He's a funny guy, and he represents New York very well, as you do yourself. But more importantly, let's talk about All-Star Projects Dallas. Before we get into this year and what's coming up at the end of this year, let's talk about how you got to Dallas, because All-Star Projects is now in six different cities, including Dallas. And how long have you guys been in Dallas? And I've been, you know, pulling the curtain back, I've been able to do some things with you guys, some awards programs, some Christmas things, and I'm just absolutely amazed at the way you show kids that you can actually be successful through performance. In other words, performance gives you the courage, performance gives you the opportunity, performance shows you that things are possible. Can you talk about how you got to Dallas and what All-Stars Projects mean to a lot of kids?
Oh, man. Well, I was about to say interview over. You just said everything I need to say.
let's start with you coming to Dallas first, because I think that's an amazing story, too.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's many different stories, many hands in helping me get to Dallas. I mean, so just to share with your audience, right, the All-Stars Project is a national organization, as you mentioned. We started in New York City 40 years ago, right, to offer free outside of school development programs. And as we expanded to cities like New Jersey, Chicago, San Francisco, Newark, New Jersey, we built a partnership with thousands of caring adults across the country. And the intersection of that was, I'm a product of the All-Stars Project. I grew up in the organization. I joined when I was around 13 years old and attended our core programs like the All-Stars Talent Show Network. Mm-hmm. I was part of our Development School for Youth program, and I could tell you more about those programs, and eventually joined the staff. And as partnerships grow, right, I'm on the staff. Our CEO, Gabrielle Kurlander, was talking to one of our major supporters, Hunter Hunt.
Right. Great guy.
We learned that he's a Dallas philanthropist and business leader. And as he grew in his leadership in Dallas, he invited us to come do some meetings with different leaders from the Communities Foundation of Texas to community leaders in West Dallas to education leaders like Michael Sorrell. And we asked the question, is there space for performance and development in Dallas? And it was a resounding yes. So when that happened, I said, hey, Gabrielle, can you send me to Dallas? And she said, yes. So that was my enclave into this region.
Okay, so let's keep it real. Have you ever been to Texas before? You said, let me go to Dallas.
No.
That's what's amazing to me. You took a chance.
Well, it's kind of like what you said, you know, performance, right? So mm-hmm. our methodology around performance is that when you are, if you see the world as a place with many different stages, right? And you learn how to perform in those different stages. And as we mentioned, I'm from Brooklyn, right? So sometimes, like you said, I get talking real comfortable with you. And I get my Brooklyn on, right?
Yeah.
Right? And then other times I'm in other environments that I perform another version of Antoine.
Right.
And so all
you have
those
to
versions,
nowadays. You really, really
yeah,
do.
Right.
You got to reach people where they are.
Where they are, right. And that was part of me growing confidence, which is one of our eight dimensions of development that we developed with SMU here in Dallas. And I was like, well, I'm confident enough to go and train in other cities. I'm confident enough to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, am I confident enough to go lead the organization that supported my life, that changed my life, changed my family's life, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up poor in Brooklyn. I'm not poor. Right.
Things happen. When you believe in what you're doing, things happen.
Yes. And so those partnerships with Caring Adults is what I was leaning on as well. The partnership with Hunter and other businesses and leaders here like EY and my friend who retired from EY, Hank Neely, and Greg Arnold, that the Arnold companies and so forth. But they embraced me. So those leaders and those partners and my current board chair now, Kim Kessler, she's the managing partner at KPMG.
Mm-hmm.
I work with all of them to build our programs for our young people that did the same for me. So that's what gave me the confidence 10 years ago to come to Dallas. And we've been on a tear. We reach over 2,000 young people every year through our programs. And again, we do talent shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have traditional performance programs where young people can sing and dance on stage or rap, but they also can be volunteers and learn the performance of producing the show, of building the show. So we go and knock on doors in housing developments and in schools. So we learn about community activism in that way, right? We partner with the police in that way. And then we put on these wonderful shows where the audience comes and they're performing.
Yeah.
They're performing as appreciative audience members. Appreciation is one of our eight dimensions of development. And then we support young people to perform in those corporate environments that I was talking about, like TAC, EY, KPMG, a Bank of Texas. And we take young people to these boardrooms in towers all around downtown Dallas. And we have them see their city from a different view. And we practice. What's the performance of a CEO? What's the performance of an IT manager? What's the performance of a receptionist? What's the performance of a paralegal? What's the performance of a law clerk? What's the performance of an accountant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we practice these things in these environments with these caring adults, shaking hands, talking to them, introducing yourself, which it's hard, right?
Right, and making eye contact. This is so wild because Antoine, you invited me to go to one of those. I don't know if you remember that or not. But
I do.
It was amazing. It was very, very impressive because, again, all the kids got an opportunity to meet movers and shakers, but also they were prepared to introduce themselves, prepared to make eye contact, and therefore they were able to socialize in an environment that they had never been to before. And they had a chance to see these things can happen. You can make something of yourself. All you have to do is believe and be prepared for the opportunity.
There you go. And excuse me. And like every performance, you have to practice. Right?
Right.
So our programs allow young people to practice on these stages where the consequences are not high. Because let's face it, sometimes in the communities, Southern, you know, Dallas areas,
mm-hmm.
young people are trying things.
Right.
And sometimes when they try things that don't go well, it has ramifications that it's hard to come back from.
Mm-hmm.
So we allow them to practice and fail. You know, you might introduce yourself very shy today, or you might say the wrong thing today. And we go, great, let's take two. Right. You can
sure.
stop the performance.
Right.
Take two, get some direction, and then try it again. And again, our caring adults, my friend Robert Maddox at RBC Capital Markets, right? Mm-hmm. He's a part of that. He says, okay, great. Show me, take two of your performance, and they get a chance to do it again. So that when they meet you, you know, you see prepared, but you're part of that lineage of helping to prepare along the way. So thank you again.
You know what's so wild about this? Sometimes, you know, especially in the world of sports, a lot of people in Texas absolutely love sports, football in particular, but they love sports, and all kids and their parents or their mom or their dad or their uncle or their coach understands about practice. And they don't really think about that in life, or they don't really think about that for kids who don't play sports. It's like, okay, you got to fail your way forward. Michael Jordan used to talk about it all the time. He used to have a commercial out where he said, you know, I didn't always, he said, I'm known for making game-winning shots. He said, but I don't always make game-winning shots. Do I quit? Yeah. No. I better develop my shot. Or I dunk instead. I make a better decision. And that's all about kids learning that it's not over if you fail. And you need to try again, and you need to learn from your mistakes, because that's how you get better.
Exactly. That, you know, I love you. I love that you brought up the sports analogy, because I sometimes mirror what we do to that. I was watching the Netflix series, The Redeem Team.
Yes, I saw that. Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. It was amazing.
In the Olympics.
One clip, yeah, at the Olympics. And they were losing, right?
Right.
And then, you know, they built the team over. They had a new thought about it. It's like, we got to practice every summer, right?
Right.
We can't just go to the Olympics. We got to practice every summer. And then, as the, you know, Dwayne Wade was telling that story, that they were coming back from a party one night, and Kobe was downstairs in the lobby going to the gym.
Yes.
5 a.m.
Yes, they were in Vegas hanging out all night, and they walked back to the hotel, and in the lobby, headed to the gym, was Kobe Bryant. He said, what's up? And then all of a sudden they started joining him in the gym.
Right. And it made them better. So practice, with practicing your craft, that performance. So again, you are MC, right? You host a lot of events, a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
You have to practice that. I've learned that I had to practice that to be a better public speaker for myself as well.
Sure.
And I've done that on theater stages. I've done that around the world. And that's what we give to young people, with saying that, hey, some environments could be a little scary when you don't know them, right?
Exactly.
But again, if you have that confidence, right, that confidence will help you be a better public speaker. It will help you in new opportunities if you're going to practice, you know, a resume, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to practice an interview and so forth. So we're helping young people, even as they call it 21st century workforce skills. That's what we're going at there as well. So young people grow a whole lot from their performance. We got some new partners I want to tell you about that have been working with us on that. So got a shout out to my people over at Dallas College. We know Dallas College does a lot of great work with over 70,000 students a year. And what we've been working with them on for the year is, how do we work with our students and their students, right?
Right.
To have that confidence even in school. What's the performance of school, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get help? Same thing we're just talking about. When you don't feel like you know what to do, where do you go? Who do you go to? So they created a success coach program, and we're going to be working with them to be a part of the training aspect of training success coaches to support our students. We're going to be working with them to train employers and how to work with young people from these communities. Because guess who also needs practice? Our caring adults, right?
Yes.
if you haven't had a younger person in your office who's never been in that environment before, well, how do you support them to succeed?
Exactly. How do you understand them, and how do they understand you? How do they? In other words, you bring people together in that way. Let me go ahead and say this for those who don't know, because you said it so quickly. Dallas Colleges is more than just Dallas College. For those who don't know, it used to be Dallas County Community Colleges. And everybody knows about them and all the commercials and things they used to do for years and years and years. And they have reimagined themselves and they are taking it to another level. I've done a lot of work with them as well. So I am so glad you guys are partnering.
Oh, yeah. No, they've been a great partner since we've come to Dallas. The former chancellor, Joe May, was a great champion of ours. And he's now moved on to our national board for the All-Stars Project. But I'm happy, even after he retired from Dallas College, that Justin Lonnon, the new chancellor, mm-hmm. has embraced us. And we've been working on a lot of things, especially with Vice Chancellor Piper Wilkins mm-hmm. and a whole team of people there. So shout out to Martha Fernandez, Kathy Acosta, Dean Tanya Wickenfell, many more on the team.
It's all about education, and education is also understanding each other. I love what you're doing. By the way, we're talking with Antoine Joyce. He is the vice president here at All Stars Project Dallas. I love what you guys are doing, especially the fact that in this day and age, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, I blame the Kardashians for this. This is the social the social media revolution where everybody's got a brand, but it's also entrepreneurship. You know, Gen Z is all about, you know, not just social media, but technology. They're all got their brands online, their YouTube pages, their Instagram identities, their marketing campaigns. And like I said, I blame the Kardashians because it's all about the image, because they were all about the image. They're famous for being famous, right? But that's so important to Gen Z. So I like the fact that you take kids, you know, in the inner cities, kids who are from lower income households, and you help them realize their dreams by saying, you know what? We match what you do. We match what you want to do. I'm going to say one other thing, Antoine, and you'll probably really start grinning on this. When I was a little kid, I read this quote, and it meant the world to me. This quote was, "Some people see things as they are and ask why. I dream things that never were and ask why not." That was Robert F. Kennedy, and I just that thing always went in my mind like, I see things differently, or, you know, I dream things that never were. And I think what you're doing is providing opportunity for kids who might see things differently and want to make a way for themselves.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, as you mentioned, right? Young people growing up in low income communities, right? Mm-hmm. Poverty is one of those things that stifles development. It sometimes limits those dreams, right? What mm-hmm. you can see. So when we're partnering with a business leader or Dallas College or any of the high schools that we work with in DISD, right? And you step outside of your neighborhood.
Yes.
You see something different. And again, like to that point, you start asking questions. Why not me?
Right.
Why not this?
Right.
Right. And what we're doing is allowing young people to see themselves in these new environments. So mm-hmm. when they do internships, right, we have a summer internship program. And I do my tours around the city. These young people have these key badges to get past the security or to get up in the elevator and so forth. They do it so proudly because it's like they now see themselves as someone who is, they have the key to success.
The key to success because they're able to get on that floor.
Yeah, right. And I'm like, I'm the one visiting. I have to be let in by my students.
That's amazing. That is amazing. You mentioned Dallas College. You were saying there are some other partnerships as well. I don't want to leave any of them out. Are you leaving anybody else out?
Yeah, well, we have a lot going on. You know, shout out to a lot of community partners. We've still been working with the Dallas Library, new partners, Let the Beat Build. We've been building some new performance programs in the mix. And we have a lot coming up for 2023 with the Dallas Park and Rec. We're building our talent shows with them. I'm really excited that, you know, next year is going to be our 10-year anniversary.
Look out. So here in Dallas, All Stars Project Dallas.
Yes, so a lot of celebrations to come. We're going to start off the year joining the return of the MLK Parade, mm-hmm. Which I love every year. We do a big float. We have young people performing, singing and dancing and poetry and rapping on the float, mm-hmm. and hundreds of young people supporting us and our caring adults. In February, during Black History Month, we're partnering with the Bishop Arts Theater, and we're co-sponsoring the 1619 Project, a one-act theater
nice.
Festival.
Very nice.
And our CEO, who was on the show with me last time, Gabrielle Carlanda, mm-hmm. she's directing this wonderful piece, the 1619 Project.
So she's coming down from New York?
Well, here's the wonderful news. Gabrielle is now a Dallas resident.
Look out. That is fantastic. The more the merrier. Yeah. Everybody's moving to Dallas-Fort Worth. This is the place to be.
Yes. No. She loves it down here. She's been making a lot of great partnerships here. She's on the board of TACA now. So mm-hmm. lovely. Great to have her here. And we actually, I skipped this, but we're ending the year with a info session for hundreds of young people. So we're going to partner with Dallas College on this. Mm-hmm. We partner with, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting my partner's name.
Don't worry, it'll come to you soon.
But it'll come, yeah.
At the same time, I'm just amazed it's already December. It's like this year has blown by.
No, right, exactly. And let me say this. The year has blown by so fast. I started off the year with 16 members. We're now up to 11 on this team. And I'm telling you, my team is amazing. So I want to just give a shout out to my Dallas team. Thank you for your work and your support of our youth and the communities. But as I was saying, we ended the year with an info session, and I can send a link out to everyone, but you go to our website to find this. So we want to invite young people to learn about college scholarships, how they apply to college, mm-hmm. how different workforce programs that are out there, like the Dallas Workforce started by Lynn McBee. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bring all those partners together so that our young people have the tools they need to keep making successful decisions.
I love this. Again, I've always loved All-Stars Projects Dallas because you guys have always done the little things that a lot of people don't think about that allow people to change their lives. Can you tell a story or two about, you know, a family or a group or maybe a couple of kids that have, just like yourself, started with All-Stars Project and then done something more and made some of their dreams come true?
Yeah, this is new and fresh for me. So
excellent.
We've been, so a couple of years ago, I was working with IDEA is a DISD magnet school.
Mm-hmm.
And we met these two sisters. One of them, it was very, very shy. The other one, she's like on student body. She's an activist, right?
Right.
So
she's out there. She's getting things done.
She's getting things done, right? But her younger sister, again, she kind of joined because big sister said, just come with me, right? Mm-hmm. And mom was like, hey, we're big sister, go, you go.
That's right.
She wasn't really into it.
That's right.
So she worked with us over that year, didn't take the internship, and then came back to another leadership program that we do, and she got an internship at Hunt.
Wow.
And Consolidated, right?
That's fantastic.
And she emails me and says, hey, I'm working on this big project. Can you support me with some connections at Dallas College so that we can work on a student-led energy project? I was like, really? Like, you know, I remember the young girl, you know, say 16 years old.
She's so quiet.
Say anything.
Right.
Right. And so then, you know, I'm skipping ahead a lot. Now, 6 months later, I'm going to meet Hunter Hunt at his office.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to their new barista headquarters there. They have like this, you know, employee lounge, and it's really centered around this kind of Starbucks-like barista station.
Mm-hmm. And it's all employee-friendly. I know how they do these things nowadays. You got to be corporate-friendly because people are used to working at home. You got to bring them into the office, so you all reinvent and reimagine the offices now.
Yeah.
So you're painting a great picture, this barista.
Exactly. Right. And who's leading the charge, the manager on the floor? My student?
You're kidding.
And I was like, wait, hold on. Right. Again, 2 years ago, she wouldn't say a word.
Right.
Now she's like greeting people. What do you need? Well, how can I help you? Yada, yada. And I was like, what are you doing here? She goes, Oh, I work here now. She has a
wow.
There's a full-time job working for the company, and she's still working with the energy group on that project since her internship. So it's like that's
dreams come true. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. And you know what? I can kind of I feel about the younger sister deal. I got two daughters and a son, and my two daughters are the oldest, and my middle daughter, she's quiet just like that girl. She's just quiet. But and a teacher told me one time when she was like young, when she was like in pre-K, because I was like, she's not really that quiet at the house, but out in the world, she's quiet. And the teacher says she's soaking it all in. She's one of those kids that's going to be, because she's checking things out before she makes her moves. So that's what was probably happening with this younger sister. She was checking it all out and deciding for herself what she liked.
Yeah, exactly. And again, as we just said, when you expose to the world, you ask yourself, why not?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
And look, you know, I'm gonna put this out there, right? Some may say a barista, you know, right? but here's the key, right? That opportunity plus the work she was doing in the energy department, right, will lead to so much more. And again, if you had seen her 2 years ago and the words that never came out of her mouth, and now she's greeting people and opening up and smiling and confident.
I'm telling you.
She's making the good money too.
She's making the good money too. And see, that's the thing. Nowadays, it's more of a gig economy, and it's not because no one can find a good job. What it is Gen Z and the millennials have decided we want to live our life in an interesting way. So we will do certain jobs because we find fulfillment in it. It's not about, I need to have all the healthcare benefits, or I need to work at the factory for 20 years and provide for my family. They're like, no, I want to do things my way. And their way may be, okay, I'm going to do it this way, this way, this way, because I get more out of it. And I might have time for myself or have more time for my community to do things to help other people's lives. So that's what I've learned over the last 5 or 10 years. It's like, you know what? Younger kids, younger adults, they look at the world a completely different way. And a gig economy is not the end of the world. It's the way they want it.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I got to say something else, too, about opportunities. And back to the world of sports. Jimmy Johnson, the Hall of Famer, who was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys back in the day, he used to talk about luck. He would say there's no such thing as just straight up luck. He said luck is when preparation meets opportunity. In other words, you're prepared for the moment. You recognize a $100 bill blowing down the street as opposed to a dollar, and you will chase it. You know what I mean? Because you know, you recognize, you say, wait a minute, that's not a dollar, that's worth something. So you chase it, or you recognize the opportunity. When opportunity knocks, you answer the door because you're ready for it. And that's what I think the All-Stars Project is doing, is preparing kids for opportunities, or preparing things, or preparing them to realize, well, guess what? You do have a chance at life. You do have a chance in this world, and we're going to show you how.
Yes. And I was mentioning this before. We did this study with SMU.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Center on Research and Evaluation. And, you know, we talk, everything you're talking about is development. And they kept saying, well, how do you define that, right? You know, for the people who don't get it, how would you define development? So we went on this journey with them. And what came out of it was these eight dimensions. And I'm gonna read them off really fast.
No,
right?
Take your time. Take your time. This is worthwhile.
Okay. So appreciation, giving, interpersonal competence,
mm-hmm.
personal responsibility, vocational competence. I mentioned this before. It's confidence.
Yeah.
My favorite is improvisation.
Right. That's
and
creativity.
And open worldview. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Creativity and open worldview. And I think that's important with the world today.
Yes, evolving.
The divisiveness that is being shown is like, if we can support our young people to have an open world view, to accept
differences,
the differences.
Yes.
And then when challenges come, to be improvisational and to be appreciative of the work that goes into creating and building things and then be giving of themselves to their families, to their communities, and then learn about their personal responsibility through personal responsibility. Like, I have to take charge of my life, right? Mm-hmm. I have to commit to what I say I'm going to do, and then give them those workforce skills. We have a fully developed young person. So that's what we work on every single moment of the day when we're working with our young people. And again, that's what you and our other business leaders support us in doing. So I want to thank you for that again.
Oh, for sure. And again, we're like-minded on all of this, because the world becomes a better place when people understand each other, or at least pause to try to understand and not look at differences as obstacles or look at differences as something to be afraid of. Antoine, I raised my kids this way because I say, you know what? You should not be afraid of things. And the way I taught them about not being afraid of things is, if you have knowledge of it or if you understand it, how can you be afraid of it? And I would give the example of on a horse farm or a horse ranch here in Texas. There are people who grew up with horses. They're not afraid of horses, but maybe some kid in the inner city never seen a horse except for on TV. They might be afraid of a horse.
Hey, that's
because,
that's me.
And then you flip it. Yeah, and then you flip it the other way around. You take a kid from a ranch or a farm or a small.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Small town somewhere in, you know, East Texas or West Texas, you bring them to the big city, bring them to Dallas or New York or Houston, they may be terrified because of quote-unquote what part of town they're in, because they're not used to it. When they should not be, it's not about being naive. If you have the knowledge, you're prepared. That's all I'm saying. It's just not being defensive about differences.
Right. And taking the time to listen.
And learn.
Learn where people come from. We have a beautiful country. We have a beautiful state.
Yep.
Like Texas is a beautiful state. And I love traveling through Texas,
mm-hmm, the countryside and the ranches and the small towns, yeah, and the big towns, yeah, and the beautiful, yeah, landscapes. Yeah, it's something special.
The coastal cities and so forth. It's, mm-hmm, like, wow, you know. So yeah, Texas has been great. Well, I would love to tell people how they can get involved, because next year I would love to.
Oh yeah, the 10th anniversary. Go right ahead.
10th anniversary. Yeah. So as always, right? We're, you know, I'll just put this out there. We're a $1.5 million organization. We just had an event. I just want to shout out two good friends of mine again, Harold Ginsberg and Hill Feinberg, two wonderful philanthropists here in Dallas. And they helped us raise $500,000 November 17th for our annual Standing with All-Stars benefit.
Yeah.
So it was great. We got Dallas Cowboys kicked in, mm-hmm. so $50,000 to the effort. It was amazing. So thank you, all of you. So every year we start at zero and we got to start again to help fully fund our program. So if you are hearing this right now and you want to be involved in that way financially, we'll love to sit down and talk, or you can give a gift online. You can go to allstars.org and give that way. But of course, as our mission says, our work is not done without the partnership. And I really mean that partnership of caring adults. So all these opportunities I've been telling you about, we bring young people into business environments. So if you have a corporate environment or a nonprofit environment or any environment that you want to expose young people to, I would love for you to talk with me about that. We have a development coaching program that mm-hmm. partners young people up one-to-one. We don't call it mentorship, you know, only because it gives a sense of one-wayness, right? Somebody right. knows more than the other.
Right.
Again, open worldview. Our supporters have told us many times that they learn from the young people, sometimes even more than what they've been given.
Exactly.
So we have a coaching program, and you meet young people where they are mm-hmm. and support them to go through some journeys. And I tell you, you know, you're talking about stories. During COVID, you know, it was hard, right?
I can imagine,
young people lost family members.
Exactly.
You know, finances were not great. People were losing jobs. And the coaches were working with our students on just how to even take a breath, how to walk outside and take a walk, mm-hmm. right? How to deal with the loss of a family member, a mother, mm-hmm. a grandmother, how to reapply to a job and where should, you know, that they just, the school is now not in person anymore. So how do you do online learning? So our coaches were instrumental to supporting thousands of young people in that work. So we're going to be launching that program again in January. So if you want to be a coach, we'd love to have you. And if you just want to be a volunteer,
sure.
We have so many opportunities just to volunteer, support us in the office, come do some door knocking in the community with our young people, join us for the MLK parade, introduce yourself to some young people you never met before. So many opportunities. So again, they can go to allstars.org, and that's all stars with an S. So www.allstars.org.
Antoine, absolutely amazing. Appreciate you so much for joining us. Your organization is one of the inspirations. It really is, because literally, how can you affect change if you don't do things like this, if you're not involved to a degree? And you cannot help but laud you for your efforts, because it brings people together, but also makes people accountable and makes people want to be successful. I love what you're doing. Thanks again, Antoine.
Thank you, Chris. Always happy to be here. Happy New Year to you, and hopefully I get to see you soon.
And joining us now is the president of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce. How you doing, Harrison Blair?
Mr. Arnold, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having us on the show again.
Always a pleasure. It's the holiday time of the year. Can you believe it's already December? It's already December.
It was just November 5th, and now I looked up, and it's December 1st. So we're taking it in stride.
Now, I know there's a lot of things going on in Dallas-Fort Worth, but in particular, what's going on with the Dallas Chamber? Because I know there's a gala, a noir gala.
There's a noir gala, Chris, and it is happening December 8th, which is next Thursday. And we're going to be at this location called the Oasis Dallas, which is kind of a tricky name because it's actually in Red Oak. We would love to have you there, Mr. Arnold, if you're available. The
you
theme noir
know.
Means that our dress code or our attire for the evening is formal wear in your interpretation of all black.
Okay, very nice. And that's just one of the things that are going on, but I know that's a key one.
Yes, sir. So that is absolutely just one event that's happening. But we're blessed because we get the opportunity to honor a world-class leader like Sint Marshall, who is our CEO of the year. So we are very, very excited to host this event. And Chris, as you alluded to, there's a lot happening. The city of Dallas has been very active. Our mayor's office has been very active with some special focuses that are all centered around economic development. So we've been working with the city. And then, of course, we talk about, you know, environmental efforts from a corporate standpoint. The city has also drafted some policy or some new ideas that are around CCAP and us keeping our carbon footprint as low as possible. And they want to help get local businesses engaged. And when they say local businesses, they're talking about those small businesses that are in the Black community, that are in a greater Hispanic community, Latinx community, and many different Black and brown communities throughout North Texas. So we've been a part of a lot of different efforts, whether we're talking about environmental issues that the city's working on, loosening up food truck regulations to help more small businesses get started, or really focusing on franchises and the mayor's small business kit, which has a lot of value to businesses that are starting and ones that are accelerating.
You guys have done a fantastic job, not only with the website. I'm always bragging about the website because it is a great business card. If you're new to Dallas-Fort Worth and you want to know what's going on and where can I maybe start my small businesses, or what part of town would I love to live in that fits my, you know, mindset or my family, my family's needs, close to my job, or what works best for me. I love the way you got it all laid out. For those who don't know, you're talking about business referrals, coaching, consulting, marketing and promotions, seminars, webinars, technical assistance, certification and procurement assistance, informational newsletters, economic impact, research, ribbon cutting, business formation, support, COVID help, assistance, awards and recognitions. Let me go ahead and let you start again and give props to the guy or the young lady that put that website together, because it is everything you could imagine. I just wish that most of government had websites this nice.
Oh, man. And Chris, look, the check is in the mail. So it's on its way. And I do want to give a shout out to Mark Drake with FanTouch Solutions. His logo is on our website. It's a clickable link. So if you are looking to get your website upgraded, Mark is very capable. His company really took good care of us, and they listened to us when we told them everything we wanted. And it was a crazy list, and he made it happen. So he's still changing some interlays of the website to make it better. So, Chris, thank you so much for being very astute at checking the website out and knowing what resources are there. We really appreciate that.
Well, you just said the key word, resources. In this day and age, you know, a lot of people work from home. A lot of people under the age of 35, they're just savvy in the world of tech. You know, they know their social media. In fact, you reach them through social media. In other words, you don't send out flyers. You don't put things necessarily in the newspaper because they don't pick them up. But they are on social media. They are ahead of the curve with technology. And your website, can you give everybody the website again? It has everything they need to know to get started with business, or if they want to move to Dallas-Fort Worth, because, you know, on our app and on this podcast, you can hear it all over the world. And they may say, you know what? I need to get a hold of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce. Here is the website. What is that address again?
So there are two ways you can reach our website. You can, if you like the longhand version, you can go to dallasblackchamber.org, or you can just do the shorthand version, dbcc.org.
Very nice, very nice. And you guys have been doing a fantastic job of especially helping small businesses, but you've also helped a lot of major corporations who are moving to the Dallas-Fort Worth get their employees acclimated to being in North Texas. Can you talk about some of the things that you guys have done and how, you know, you guys have been the place to be when people want to relocate?
Oh, man. One of the coolest things that we've gotten the opportunity to do as a Chamber of Commerce is start with volunteer events. And this sounds kind of counterintuitive when you think about how we help corporations, but a lot of times corporations have huge staffs.
Yes.
If you like, for example, JPMorgan Chase has 15,000 employees. in Texas, or the 30,000 in Texas and 15,000 that are in North Texas. So when we call their employees out to come and be a part of a cleanup, or if I call FedEx or I call any of the large corporates, they're bringing out 50, 60 folks yes. who may not know each other.
Yes.
So they get an opportunity to learn about who's in their company, people who are a part of the same interest groups as them. And then they get an opportunity to meet other executives across the board in other firms and other companies, because Dallas is a business town and there are so many Fortune 100s and 500s downtown and around the Metroplex. So we get a good opportunity to help thought leaders mingle around causes that they really care about. But also, when they start to make impact, they start asking better questions instead of, you know, hey, why is there so much trash in this particular area or park? And then they start asking, well, why aren't there more trash cans? How can we get more engaged?
There you go.
And then, you know, and from there, they also really get an opportunity to come and see all the different great spaces that are around the southern sector, around Dallas, places that they may not otherwise go to if they didn't have a guide who is from Dallas, who's interested in them connecting.
I'm glad you brought that point up, because it's always amazing to me. You know, I go to various functions like you do, especially nonprofit events, or like you said, even get-togethers. And it's always not surprising, but it's always amazing to me that different people who move to Dallas-Fort Worth, they don't get around that much. They just either go to work or they go to the restaurants or the places they like to hang out, but they don't go all over town, and they have misconceptions about different parts of town based on stuff that they've read or heard or saw on the news.
And Chris, they'll come over to a community, go to a restaurant with us, meet community people, because I think the other thing that we help people who are moving to the city understand is that a neighborhood may seem bad from the outside, or you may have heard bad things about it. But once you get there and you start meeting people in the community, you see that the community itself has its own ecosystem, and people see it more than just a dangerous place. It's a place where they live, work, and play, and it has value. And then the best part of it is when we share the value of what makes all of Dallas great. And we try to make sure that people feel those resources, because the other side is not just us giving corporations and their leaders an opportunity to really experience what's great about Dallas, but we want to showcase opportunities to community members who may be looking for that next level of employment that they want to reach, or that next opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Or they've never seen a corporation come into their community and not do harm. And we give opportunities for all of that to happen in a city that is quickly becoming a world-class city and will be one of the largest metropolitan areas by 2050.
It really is. And again, you're throwing out the numbers that people have to respect, because literally there are so many people moving to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We already know about the real estate, and even though, you know, it's kind of tailing off a little bit with inflation and whatnot, but still, it is one of the hottest markets in the country. And I bring up real estate because people who move down here, I'm talking about the different corporations, the different businesses, even the smaller businesses, people have to have some place to live, whether it's in a home or an apartment or a townhouse or wherever. They need to have some place to live. And sometimes they reach out to you, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's not only the people who are looking for somewhere to move, you know, and live, but a lot of times we'll get a dual request. It'll say, you know, hey, I'm looking for office space where I might need two rooms. I need two corner offices, and I need enough space for 16 team members. And then I want to know, where can I live where my kids will have access to a great school, where I have a centralized office space where I might go work and grab coffee, mm-hmm. where they can go enjoy a beautiful park and play while I might get some work done in a Wi-Fi enabled space that's, you know, all buttressed by the public. So there's a lot that people request from us. And then they also want to know, where can I take my son and my daughter to get, you know, something that's very culturally specific, but it's healthy for them. You know, I want to take them to see Bandankoro and maybe show them some African drums. I might want them to do some capoeira or read, you know, be a part of a Black men's yoga group or troupe. So there are a lot of different access points that people are looking for. And I'll add too, Chris, that most of the people who are looking for this are not always Black. Sometimes they're just folks who are really engaged in the cultural exchange of what America offers. And they want to be down.
Exactly. They want to know, and again, they want to reach out, and that's one of the things you guys do so well. Let's even talk about the churches in the Dallas area, because literally some people who move into town, they have no idea not only about the churches of the different denominations, but there's mega churches down here as well. In fact, one of the largest churches in the world, the Potter's House, is right down here in Dallas County.
Oh, man. And Chris, the church's impact is unforetold when you really start to look at what some of these mega churches can do. I was talking to an owner who she has her own food processing company. She makes food that goes into restaurants. So mm-hmm. they will buy in bulk from her. And one of the places that she sells to is Albanese. And it's in the northern section.
One of the best restaurants in town.
One of the best restaurants in town. But, you know, when my wife and I go to Albanese, I'm not ordering chicken and waffles. I don't trust them with you know, one of Auntie's famous recipes. Well, we find out that this vendor who we were talking to at a Black-owned coffee shop is the vendor who does their chicken and waffles. That made us want to try it. But she told us how her pastor supported her when she got on the menu. She told the pastor at the Potter's House, and they basically mobbed out and all went to eat for a couple of Sundays there. And it shifted Fantastic. How they looked at what the impact of leaders from our community could do and what the economics of a church can really provide to businesses that are trying to grow and thrive. And I salute the work that a lot of these churches are doing, because in many ways, those are the corporations that have been allowed to thrive and grow in our communities over history and over time. So it's no shock or surprise that some of our greatest leaders are leaders of the faith. Mm-hmm. And they do support a lot of the work we do. And that's, you know, we're talking about the Potter's House, but I'm looking at Concord.
Yep.
I'm looking at Friendship West and IBOC and all the different flavors that each of these pastors bring and the way that they really impact the business market here. So very honored to be in a space like that that's got that rich cultural tradition and that leadership that's not only focused on your soul, but all those things you need while you're here as well.
You know, we're talking about all the different churches, and they come in all different sizes. Some of them even storefront size, because that's what like some people like. But you drive up and down I-20. If you go from the east end of 635 all the way to Grand Prairie, you will pass five or six of the largest churches you've ever seen in your life. And they're all brand new. They've all been built within the last 10, 15 years.
Man. And they're all making such impact. And that's how we're starting to get communities. One of the coolest communities that's close to Wheatland, and this is not talked about enough, was actually done with Black churches and some mega churches, some pastors that lead, you know, some pretty medium sized flocks. Mm-hmm. They used money from, I believe, some of the investments from their members to build a community. And that community is now right off Wheatland, where you see the Target and you see right off 20 and 67. That was a development done with dollars from the clergy. And Black clergy at that. And it's a great development. And now there's been an expansion from some other private developers in that same area, because the leaders of the cloth are also not only pastors. They have different, you know, business degrees and different backgrounds in many different respects. And they are truly working with us and with other community leaders to start to develop our communities and have some ownership in some of those processes. So just some important things to note about what makes Dallas different. And when we say the home of the public-private partnership, we're not just talking about water fountains and parks, you know, that are over freeways. We're talking about churches developing communities.
You know, on that same tip, I got to bring this up. The owner of Golf Club of Dallas, right there off of 67, is Pastor Tony Evans over there at the Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. And Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship has their fingerprints all over that very nice golf club. I love that.
Oh, man. And they do a lot of programming. And Chris, for me, this is particularly important. I live down the street.
And that's where I last saw you. We were over there for a fundraiser.
and loved every bit of it.
Yes.
Mr. Paris and the crew. So, man, I love what they're doing and how they program that golf club. And it's one of the nicest golf courses and one of the nicest golf clubs in the city. So we're honored that to know that that is owned by a church that is really concerned about the impact that it's going to make with mm-hmm. that holding.
Exactly. I could talk to you on and on and on, because we've got to. We're talking to Harrison Blair. He is the president of the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce. You've had your fingerprints on the pulse of this city for how many years now? Because, again, you're one of the people that knows everything, because there's so many people that use the Dallas Black Chamber of Commerce for connecting with other groups or organizations. Can you talk about yourself?
Absolutely. This is my fourth year in the role of president and CEO at the Black Chamber. And I can honestly say, if anybody thinks that the chamber is a one-trick pony or it only does one thing, sorely mistaken. And what I found is that most people don't know what a chamber of commerce does, period, mm-hmm. let alone what the different chambers of commerce with different focuses may
break do. It down for them. Break it down right here.
So my focus as the chamber leader here at the Dallas Black Chamber, the first and largest Black chamber in the nation, is really focused on shifting the perspective of what a chamber does. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as a nonprofit, a C6 with a C3 attached, where we can also do some charitable programs, is we can actually bring a lot of different leaders around the table. If you're a for-profit, you can work with us. If you're a nonprofit, you can partner with us. If you're an elected official, you can work with us. If you're a community leader who just wants to engage and you see policy, through our apparatus, you can do that. If you're a concerned business owner and you want to come and really be around other businesses and leaders, not just in the Black community, but in the larger business community from any industry or background, this is where you come to make your voice quantified in a sea of voices. And we put together all different types of programs. We're talking anything from public sphere, where we're talking about the lack of spend or the increase in spend with certain minority vendors, primes, subprimes, mm-hmm. subcontractors. And that's all public. Then we move over to looking at venture capital dollars or being able to walk into a bank and be bankable or to know the difference between a line of credit and a loan and which one would actually benefit your business and which bank would actually be the tier that fits you for what you're trying to achieve. So just the level of knowledge that we must have, the way we must move. My focus is to make sure that the chamber feels like an institution. And what I've learned from what people expect from us is that they feel like this is an institution. And a lot of times they have what has happened in the past seared in their minds. You know, if, you know, when Maceo Smith, who is our one of our greatest executive leaders, came to office and he had a Turkish minister to visit him in his Oak Cliff home. Mm-hmm. That was a big deal. He's talking about economics on a different scale, a global scope. Relationships that he's helping to craft Dallas as a global city. And or when they talked about getting the first Black police officers on the street in 1947, or Hamilton Park, which is now some of the most expensive property yes. owned in the city of Dallas,
North
just
Dallas.
On the outskirts. Mm-hmm. We helped to develop the idea for that. So just through and through, the Black Chamber has really been a piece of infrastructure. And if we do our jobs right, you know, everybody's going to flip on the light switch. Everybody's going to turn the faucet to get water. We want to make sure that the pipe is connected so that when people from our community are doing those same things with regard to resources for business and nonprofits, the resource comes to them as well.
You know, you really do a great job of this. I know it's tough sometimes because you get information and you get people asking for help at the same time from all directions. I mean, up high and down low. It seemed like this is more than just a career for you. I mean, this is what you do. This is like the perfect fit. Am I wrong?
No, Chris, I couldn't have gotten anything better, because for me, you know, my grandfather was, you know, he walked on water in this city.
I was about to go there. That was the next thing I was going to. The late, great Bill Blair. Your family's name means everything. He was in the Negro Leagues. I know the man. I knew the man so well. I used to have him on the radio shows I was on in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. Oh, wow. And I would meet with him over for lunch at Luby's. You know, come on, man. He is a legend. So your last name also gives you entree into some place, because there's some credibility right there.
And you know, Chris, for me, what it really boils down to is it feels more like that speech that Uncle Ben gave Spider-Man when he said, hey, you know, great power comes great responsibility.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's never felt like, you know, I have a blank check and I can do what I want, or I, you know, this is my grandfather's park, so I can do whatever I want here. Rules don't apply. It never felt like that. It always felt like you had to live up to expectations. It's always felt like the family's business has been about making the communities better and safer for people who are here in Dallas, and not just the Black families here, but if Dallas is to be great, then everybody should have access to what makes it great. And I feel like this work is a continuation of what they did.
Yeah.
Perhaps they, you know, a lot of his work was as a small business, but in kind of a civil rights perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love about what I get to do today is I get to talk about the economics of what they were really focused on. You know, so much of that gets drowned out in people, right, or doing right by folks versus, hey, economic opportunity is doing right by folks and making sure that everybody has a piece of that pie, or that if we grow the pie, there's more pie for everybody. I feel like that's what I got from my grandfather and also from my dad, who was very humble in making sure that he built his father's reputation. So a lot of stuff he would do in name of Bill Blair. But the parade growing, the way that they grew the parade.
Martin Luther King.
And people ask me, and people ask me all the time, you know, why is the MLK parade in Dallas so significant, and why should we care that, you know, your family started a parade? And I explained to them that a lot of times people want access to these big celebrations, not just to be there, but to actually participate. And the reason that parade got so large is because my dad engineered this idea that, you know, everybody can't afford insurance to be in the parade. But what they can do is they can come in March, they can put their church in the parade. You know, maybe the band from the high school can come and participate. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get all these different community groups who would normally never get the opportunity to be spotlighted, then everybody and their family is out there to watch their family member or their daughter, their son, their uncle, who's a Grand Mason from the lodge, come and walk in this parade. And have the cost of it subsidized. So that's how you got the 300,000 plus folks lining the streets. They were primarily there to celebrate Dr. King's birthday and holiday, but they wanted to be active in that celebration. And my dad's favorite saying that day would be, today is a day on, not a day off. Everybody else may be off work, but we're working today.
Let me tell you something. That parade was something special. And again, it's in January, so the weather could be all kinds of weather. And I've been fortunate enough to be in over 20 of them. And shout out to Skip Murphy and company, because you guys let us be grand marshals one year. I'll never forget that as long as I live. That's one of my highlights. And again, with everybody having so much fun and enjoying themselves, it's something special. So again, make sure if you haven't been to a Martin Luther King Jr. parade, you've got to go to sunny South Dallas to really enjoy it.
Oh man. And Chris Arnold, legendary. It's hard to be this young and this good and this legendary all in one, but somehow you make it happen.
Mom and daddy got good genes. I'm just hanging in there.
So and know that it was our honor to have you be a grand marshal. That was huge for my family as well. So thank you so much for always being engaged with the people.
If there's anything else we need to let everybody know, let them know now. Where can they find all this information? Because the website is it's just amazing. It's astronomically outstanding.
So you can find information about membership and about what we do at the Chamber every day at dbcc.org or dallasblackchamber.org. And it's so important that members join, because that's the majority of our support. When members join and they pay their membership fee, that helps us serve more members. The greatest program we could ever have is if you call the Chamber as a nonprofit or a business and you are trying to get to that next level or you want to get started. It is our mission to ensure that there's an expert who can help you. And as much as I like to do some of that work, I've also learned as a leader in these 4 years, you know, if you call Pizza Hut, you don't hope to get the CEO of Pizza Hut to make you a pizza. You want an expert person who's going to make that pizza. So we have expert staff outside of me who are really focused on making sure when you do call, there's someone who can serve you and assist your business in growing. So we would love to do that. And we can only be stronger with more members. So we wouldn't be mad at you if you push the join button.
Ed Harrison, that's why we appreciate you so much. Thank you for joining us today, man. I appreciate you.
No, thank you, Chris Arnold. It is always an honor, sir.
All right, I'm Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, thanking you for joining us. Tune in next week as we focus on other organizations and individuals doing great things in our community right here on Better Living. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.